Hey folks, Dan Frio here with your market update for January 7th, 2025. So what we're going to talk about in today's video is the JOLTS index, how many job openings there and labor transfers there were. I think you're going to like that number a little bit. We're going to talk about tariffs. Tariffs are taking a little bit of a tweaking right now, and I think the markets are liking that as well. And then we're going to get to the bond issuance. The big bond issuance that's coming out today and tomorrow, a lot of people are going to not really realize that, and it's going to fly under the radar. The Federal Reserve is actually pumping out a record amount of bonds into the system, and that's going to be a concern. Why is it a concern? Well, let's get to the news. So here's where rates are for today. Well, let's say it this way. This is how they ended yesterday, basically flat as a pancake. What most of the markets are waiting for right now is the economic news to come in. So today we had the JOLTS index, job openings and labor transfers, came in a little bit higher than expected. It was 7.8 previously, and it's 8 million right now. That really wasn't a market mover. The things that are moving the market right now is the issuance of bonds right through here. There's a bond auction today, and this doesn't tell us how much, but I'm going to show you that. There's also a bond auction tomorrow. So the markets are basically waiting right now. The JOLTS index came out. That gives us a little read on the employment numbers. But then this number came out, the manufacturing PMI, much stronger than expected. So this is telling us the manufacturing market right now is really kicking. So that, along with not so much of a weak jobs market, what's that going to do for the Fed? So let's get over to today's news. So let's dive into it. The first thing I want to show you right through here is this interview with Mike Feroli. He's an executive at JP Morgan. Let's get his take on the jobs market. And then I'm going to go back and show you some headlines of what's going on with tariffs. This is how they start the interview, where they talk about tariffs, but I have some breaking news on that. And then today's bond market, how much is the Treasury actually pumping in? Is it going to be way too much for the markets to absorb? That's where we're focusing in on today, folks. So let's get over to Mike at JP Morgan.
Let's dig a little further into the tariff's potential impact on the economy. That strong services data this morning shows things are still humming along, a little too hot for John's liking. The December number saw the sharpest output growth and new orders since March of 2022, while employment increased for the first time in 5 months.
Okay. So you first might think in a normal market, you'd be like, oh, that's great news. But in the market that's just completely dependent, almost to the point where they want the Federal Reserve to cut rates just to make things much easier, this is bad news. But if you, in a normal market, or if you were in a bad market, you'd look and say, okay, manufacturing's increasing, the jobs market's looking a little bit better, it's not so bad. But not when you're dependent on the Federal Reserve for cheap money. So that's the first topic we want to stop at right through there, so they can keep going.
Would universal tariffs, if we get them, the expiration of the tax cut, slow things down? Joining me now to discuss that, J.P. Morgan Chief U.S. Economist Michael Feroli and our own Steve Leisman. Gentlemen, welcome. Steve, you want to pick up here on what we were just saying? And look, the data continues to be strong.
Yeah, you know, I just got back from the American Economic Association annual conference in San Francisco. And there were, you know, three kind of camps out there. One was, if all these policies go through, it'll be a disaster. On the other side, some people were very upbeat about the policies. Then there was this sort of large group in the middle that says, you know what, they're not going to do a whole lot of what they say they were going to do on the campaign. So things won't change that much. Interesting to me, when I landed, there's that Washington Post story that says, well, they're kind of backing off the tariff thing. They went with that whole, you know, group in the middle that were like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. So we'll have to see. And then, you know, obviously President Trump comes out and says that's not a true story. So it's really hard to know. It raises that uncertainty. I'll talk more about this on the other side of what Michael says. But my big concern here is that President Trump is coming to the in the fire trucks, coming with a hook and ladder to put out something that's not really on fire when it comes to the U.S. economy.
Mike, I can't imagine.
I'll plug in just a little section there. It's not needed per se, but I'm having a video coming out here shortly that I did. I was back in West Virginia visiting my mom during the holidays, and I drove through our town and a couple of the towns up and down the river where I grew up, and it was all steel mills, and it was basically where that Nippon Steel is right now, that Japan's trying to buy that steel company. And I drove through two towns, the town I grew up in, the town north of me, just to show you how devastated those towns are. They were robust coal mine steel mill towns back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and then everything everything just went poof because a lot of Chinese dumping of steel and other products. So I got a video coming out. It's a pretty raw video, but I'm driving through town just showing you guys how all this works. Then also, right through here, you saw this. This was that spike right when some of this news came out this morning in regards to some of the data that we're providing this morning. So let's keep going with it.
Must just want to wade right into that. Tell it, what do you think we're setting up for this year?
Well, so first of all, I agree with Steve. The economy is, you know, not on fire. We see that in the data over the past couple weeks has all been quite favorable, even with inflation coming in a little lower. In terms of, you know, policies, yeah, tons of uncertainty. I kind of tend to fall into that middle camp that Steve talked about, not because I don't believe the administration won't follow through on a lot of their policies, but I believe that, you know, the business cycle has its own rhythm here, if you will, and that some of these things are, you know, a lot of the economy is not determined in Washington. And so I think some of the trends we've been seeing at the end of this year should continue into next year. I would say of the things we're looking at, tariffs, you know, we were reminded of it again this morning, is a big issue that I think is probably going to be front and center for the year. We think it probably will be a bit inflationary and probably a bit of a headwind to growth. But we'll have to wait and see, actually, you know, which of the competing stories we get this morning and over the next several weeks is actually put into place.
Are you expecting a strong jobs report on Friday, Mike? And how does this all set us up for the next Fed decision in about 3 weeks' time?
Yeah, so we're looking for more of the same, actually. We're looking for 150K, which is kind of what we've been averaging over the past 6 months, and an unemployment rate unchanged at 4.2%. I think if we got that, the Fed would be okay being on hold at the end of the month, which is, you know, pretty much what they've been signaling ever since that December FOMC meeting, if not earlier. Obviously, if we get a surprise to the downside, you'd have to have a pretty big surprise to the downside, but that could change that narrative. I think it's pretty hard to see upside surprises yet getting a narrative of hikes. I think that's a discussion for much later.
Steve, well, yeah, if we start talking about hikes, that would be a whole other market story, but I take your point with what bond yields and the data are doing. You never know. What about, Steve, this news that Barr is going to step down from his supervisory role, I guess stay on the Fed board? And while it may sound kind of wonky or inside baseball, it's true that this is, you know, bank supervision. And perhaps if he foresees an administration that's going to come in and be either letting banks do more M&A, pushing them to do more lending into the economy, that kind of thing. Is there a larger macro takeaway from this?
Well, I think that it's part of a, what do you call it, the pendulum swinging back from the banks being very much under the thumb of government and regulators to at least some relief. Michael Barr was pretty tough on that. He did back off of some of his most extreme positions when it came to the capital buffers that were out there. Following really where the board was. I think it's really interesting that he's going to keep his position there. It requires the Trump administration to pick from among the existing board members. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if Congress takes up that law again and gives the flexibility to the administration to pick its own person. I don't know if they're going to have the votes for that. But, yeah, it's relief for the banks. We'll see how far it goes. I do think there is relatively good bipartisanship agreement on the issue of being relatively strong on the banks, maybe not as strong as we've been.
Fantastic interview. So let's start diving into some of the data. So you saw it right through here when the servicing number came out, or I'm sorry, the JOLT number came out, and the servicing numbers came out. This automatically went poof, if you could see it right through here. So this is the MBS market that we follow on a daily basis. How you follow this is the price of a bond. So when the price of a bond goes down, the yields go up. So that's how you understand this. So let's get down to the data we have coming in so far today. We went through the JOLT index right through here, 3 million people in the JOLT index readings. Previously, it came in at 3.3, revised to 3.2, so 3, so that's kind of on the button. Here's the anomaly in here, the manufacturing. They said it came in much stronger than expected. We were at a 52 handle, now we're at 54. Anything above 50 is positive. Now, here's the thing that's flying under the radar, right through here, the 42-day auction, and then this right through here, the 10-year Treasury auction. Let me show you, let's see if this gives us how much in debt that they're issuing. Okay, right through here. So the last readings were, it went from 15 to 37 to 39 to 16 to 39, 39, 17, back to 39. This is because of this. The government doesn't have enough money to fund folks. So when you have this much debt hitting the markets, it's hard for the markets or investors to absorb. And then what we have tomorrow, you go to tomorrow, and we have yet another bond auction right through here. Let me see if I can get that count for you. Another $22 billion, and that's where it's been kind of steadily through right through here. So there's a lot of debt hitting the markets. Okay, yesterday's bond auction went really bad, and so today and tomorrow's bond auction, I'm not thinking is going to go well either. So it's probably going to have to drive yields up for it to pour investors into buying all this debt. So that's one area that's also affecting rates right now. So we go over to the tariffs, and on the tariffs, we really don't know. So one party, let's look at it this way. I talk to realtors and people every day looking to buy homes, and a lot of them just say, you know, I don't know what to bid. I'm just going to go in with a low ball and just... It's a starting point. So is that what Trump's doing? He's going in just saying, okay, I'm going to just clobber you guys with all these tariffs. And let's get to the table, folks. We need to talk. So otherwise, here's where we're going to be. So come to the table. Let's talk and figure out where the norms are. He's a great businessman, great negotiator. Let's see how that goes because the future is basically uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So focus on daily if you want to learn about you know checking out the economics behind mortgages and rates and so forth, the equity markets. Love for you to join me. Each evening what we do is we go over some substance if you're looking to buy in 2025. So in today's market, later today, we're going to talk about how one of the first things you should do before you even put in your application. So check out our video later today. I think you'll find that really informative. But if you need some help with credit, we do have a credit system in place. It's called Credit Scores and More. Here's what I would suggest you do. What happened in the background is we used to have a lot of clients that would call in, and let's say your credit score was 3, 4, 5 points away from where we would give you kind of a rate relief. Well, that system's no longer available through all of our credit agencies. So the only way you can get it is right through here, going to your true credit scores. You're going to be launched to MyFICO, and the MyFICO score, I would highly suggest you guys use it. Why? It's actually going to give you your FICO score. That's what lenders use. Okay. The other piece of the built-in system of this is you can actually maneuver saying, okay, I have a 739 credit score, but I get a price break or an interest rate break at 740. What can I do to pick up 2, 3, 4, 5 points to help me get a better rate? So check that out. But if you aren't using a free credit system right now, use this. Don't apply for any of the bells and whistles. It's not worth it. If you're going to spend any money, do it right here with the true credit score. And you can find that at creditscoresandmore.com. So my name is Dan Frio. I do this report on a daily basis. Why? I want to keep you guys informed on what's heck's going on with mortgage rates and programs. Because you've decided in 2025 you want to buy a house. Now it's my job to help navigate you basically from that desire to the keys in your hand. So just think, if you can put in one application, one credit pool, and have up to 40 different quotes, that's what we do, okay? I work at ServBank. We're one of the top 10 mortgage servicer in the whole country, but we're unique. We're also a mortgage broker, and that's not usually common when it comes to banking. So I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. I'd love to help you. So there's no reason why not to choose coming to us. Again, one credit pool, one application. We're going to give you quotes from all over the country. How you do that is hit the apply now button. What we'd like to do is have you vet us. Please do. Schedule a one-on-one appointment with me, David, or Alan. We'd love to meet with you and go over any questions that you have, just like we used to do on our live events, and those will be back. Or what you can do is you can scroll right down through here and give us a call. That number is 844-775-5626, or you can reach me personally at dan@therateupdate.com. If you email me and have some questions, please include your phone number. I like to call you and chat so we can work this out. Thanks for watching, folks. Hope you come back later today to see what you need to do for sure before putting in any mortgage application. Take care. See you later. Bye-bye.